This is the log of Magnus Carter, aboard Space Force, en route for the planet Mars. The preparations for takeoff were not without incident. Whilst out in the desert some 200 miles west of Cairo, we sighted a giant meteorite. It crossed the western horizon and seemed to crash, but an intensive search failed to find any sign of it. Next day, Chipper and Lodrick got lost in the intricate system of passageways beneath the ancient step pyramid at Saqqara. There they encountered two strange figures and a huge ancient Egyptian sunboat. This, Lodrick believed, was the colossal meteorite of the night before, but apparently it could no longer fly. Lodrick and Chipper had been directed to the boat grave in the hope that they could repair the vessel. When this was found to be impossible, they were released. There was no opportunity to investigate their experience because our expedition began the next day. Then, less than 24 hours out from Earth, freighter number one reported two stowaways aboard.
Well, who are they?
Do you know, they claim to be Kemetians.
What?
Kemetians. People from Kemet.
Where's that? Never heard of it. Have you?
Yes, I have.
What? Have you? Where is it?
Kemet is the ancient name for Egypt.
Ancient Egypt? How could stowaways possibly come from there? Hello, freighter one.
Receiving you.
I'll have to come over to interrogate the stowaways.
Very good.
Meanwhile, keep them under strict surveillance. Magnus, you better come over too. Get your suit on.
Very well. Hello, freighter one. Lodrick St. Cyr, flight engineer, calling.
Receiving you.
Would you mind asking the stowaways their names?
Already done that.
What are they?
Don't laugh. He says his name is Marianka, and hers is no friend.
Just as I thought.
Space Force, an intergalactic adventure by Charles Chilton, starring Barry Foster, Nigel Stock, Nicky Henson, and Tony Osoba. Episode 2, The Red Planet.
Do you know these two stowaways?
Not really. I encountered them briefly a few days ago.
Oh? Where?
In a boat grave. A grave for boats. Something ancient Egyptians used to build to bury funerary boats in.
What's that got to do with stowaways?
Well, that's what I'm hoping Saxon and Magnus will find out. They're already on their way over.
Then I'd better get ready to receive them. Call you later.
Yes, sure.
Okay, Chipper. Fill the air lock.
Air on. Airlock filled.
Open the door. Thanks.
Ah, that's better. Here, Chipper, take the helmet. Lodrick, help Magnus.
Thank you.
What did they say, the stowaways?
Nothing. At least nothing sensible. The man, Marianka, kept repeating a lot of nonsense about his being keeper of the sunboat of the great god Ray.
That's right.
What do you mean, that's right?
He is the keeper of the sunboat.
Oh, you believe him.
I saw the boat.
Chipper said it was just a replica of an ancient Nile boat.
Made of bundle of reeds tied together. Yeah.
They may have looked like reeds, but they weren't. The boat was made of some kind of metal. I couldn't identify it, but it would never have floated, that's for sure.
Mary Hankey said it flew across the sky with the sun.
That's what he told us. He must be crazy. What do you think, Magnus?
The things he says certainly make him sound crazy, but... Yet in some ways, if you made some very liberal allowances, he could be talking sense.
Oh, an ancient boat that sails across the sky.
What he's saying ties in exactly with what ancient Egyptians believed, that every day the sun sails across the heavens in a boat piloted by gods who were once kings on Earth.
Marianka doesn't appear very godlike.
He's a priest of a very high order.
But he can't be an ancient Egyptian. What about all that nonsense of the sunstone? That was the craziest thing I've ever heard.
When you examined the boat, Lodrick, what exactly did you find?
Nothing much. I soon saw the boat wasn't made of reeds, nor wood, nor any of the conventional boat materials.
Nothing else?
Well, there was the deck house.
Yes?
It contained a coffin, probably from sarcophagus in the tomb we found in the pyramid. It stood on another sarcophagus which opened at one end. Inside, it was unbearably hot.
What was in it?
I don't know. But if the boat could fly, I'd say the sarcophagus contained its motive power.
What kind?
Atomic. Light particle, magnetic. Could be anything. Whatever it was, it gave off a tremendous heat.
And light, too.
You mean that the meteor that passed over Cairo was a flying boat?
Very likely.
And the one you say you saw in the boat grave?
Yes. That's too fantastic. The meteor's direction of flight would have taken it right over the position of the boat grave.
Except it didn't pass over. It landed and went in.
No, no. It would explain the brightness of the meteor.
It was like looking directly at the sun.
Exactly.
No, I'm not convinced, and I'd need a lot more evidence before I were.
Well, we've plenty of time to collect it between here and Mars.
We taken those nutcases with us?
We have no choice, Chipper. It would ruin the expedition to turn back.
What about somebody coming up and collecting them?
There's no spacecraft fast enough to overtake us.
Then maybe Freighter 1 can find them something useful to do.
They're not staying in Freighter Number 1.
Huh?
They're coming over here.
What?
Where we can keep an eye on them and interrogate them further.
Well, you're the fleet commander.
Any objection to their coming?
No, no. It's just they give me the creeps. Especially him. She's not so bad.
Objection overruled. Now clear the computer. I want to send a report back to base.
Yes, sir. While I'm here, I might as well collect in the news bulletins. See what's happening down on Earth.
Is that the news coming in, Chipper?
Yes, Magnus.
Put it up on main screen. Then we can all see it.
All righto.
Any cricket?
Hello, what's this?
Cairo, isn't it?
Yes.
Egyptian Museum.
What's been happening down there, then?
Looks like a robbery.
Turn out the sound, Chipper.
Okay.
And at first it was thought the prime motive was the theft of the golden objects associated with the king and his tomb.
What's happened?
But as the most precious of these were not disturbed, it is assumed some other motive must be behind the theft.
I wonder.
The museum has stated that they have as yet no idea how the thieves managed to break through the tight security that surrounds the exhibition, nor how they managed to remove the objects.
What's
up? Cairo police are leaving no stone unturned to track down the thieves and to have the national treasures restored. This is the first time an attempt has been made to rob the museum of the Tutankhamun treasures since they were discovered nearly 100 years ago. Now back to London.
That was Colin Westchurch from Cairo, reporting on the recent robbery of Tutankhamun's mummified body and some of the ancient treasures from the Egyptian Museum in Cairo.
Turn it off, Chip.
My mummified body, eh?
Stolen? Could this be any relation to our two stowaways?
I don't see how.
Patrick, you said they took a body from a tomb in the Step Pyramid.
Yes, but they left the treasure behind.
That seems to be the case in Cairo, too. Chipper.
Yes, Saxon.
Get on to control, get a full report on the robbery, find out exactly what treasures were taken and how, if they know that much.
Right away.
Meanwhile, we'll have the stowaways transferred over here.
What? Now?
We'll ask them about the robberies. Their replies may give us a clue as to what they're really up to. Have you had enough to eat?
Thank you, my lord.
Lord?
We are honored by your concern for us.
I'm not your lord. How about you, Nofret? Would you like some more?
I am satisfied and equally honored by your lordship's kind attention.
Why do you keep calling me lord?
Are you not lord of this mighty fleet of sunboats? We are humbled to be in your illustrious presence.
Well, there's no need. Just settle down and relax. We must ask you a
permission
few more...
Permission first, yes, for us to ask you.
Very well.
Is this boat sailing for Kemet?
No, for Mars.
And the boat we just left is sailing beyond...
Into the asteroid belt, which is where we'll all end up eventually.
Yes. No one escapes. It is the will of the gods.
What?
What does she mean?
We thank you for your kindness in taking us to Kemet and not the Netherworld. But as you say, we all arrive there in the end.
Netherworld? Kemet?
What are you talking about? We're going to Mars and then to the asteroids.
That is so, my lord.
Would you like to have a go, Magnus? I'm not getting any sense out of either of them.
I'll try. Now, listen, both of you.
I hear you.
After we got back from Freighter 1, we received some news from Earth that will probably be of great interest to you. Yesterday, the Egyptian Museum at Cairo was robbed. The body of King Tutankhamun, along with the chest containing the canopic jars, were all stolen.
Recovered.
What do you mean, recovered? The museum was robbed.
No. King Tutankhamun's tomb was robbed, and the plunder was placed in the museum.
What do you mean?
Now it has been recovered.
You had something to do with it?
It happened yesterday. No Fred and I were aboard Freighter One. How could we be in a museum on Earth?
You seem to be pleased at the news.
The king has been lost and then recovered. That is a time for rejoicing.
To us, it is just robbery. You robbed a tomb yourself, didn't you?
Marianka robbed a tomb? That is blasphemous. You must apologize. You have hurt him deeply.
Well, then I'm sorry, but according to Lodrick, Marianka removed, or had removed, the body of a high-ranking noble from a tomb in the step pyramid at Saqqara and put aboard a boat.
That was not robbery. That was his holy and bounded duty.
To remove bodies from tombs? What for?
To carry them to the netherworld. That is the right and hope of all persons of high rank and pure blood.
She just said that the asteroids are the netherworld.
No, my lord. You said the netherworld was the asteroid.
Is that where you claim to come from?
We are from Kemet.
Which we call Mars?
Yes.
There's no life on Mars.
That is true. Yes.
But you claim to have come from there.
We have.
All the way from Mars to Earth just to rob a museum.
This beats anything on TV.
Quiet.
Oh, sorry, but this is stupid.
Your lord said to be quiet.
My lord?
Who did... Silence. Your pardon, my lord. We are not robbers. Earthmen are the robbers. They have been plundering for thousands of years. Whenever we come to recover the remains of our ancient kings, we find that Earthmen have plundered their tombs and stolen and scattered the holy relics.
So they could be seen and admired. They're of great historic as well as monetary value.
It is declared that the dead shall dwell in their sacred houses forever. They are not to be plundered and exposed to public show. Only Earthmen would plunder the dead. They are savages. From the very beginning, when our people first went to Earth, they have been savages.
When was that?
When the desert was still green and the land was rich. Before Earthmen learned to grow corn. Before he learned to make fire.
We who taught him.
To make fire, you.
Our ancestors.
Why don't you tell us what you're really up to?
Right.
Tell it straight, without the imaginative bits about sun gods and ancient kings and teaching prehistoric man to make fire.
We came to collect the remains of our illustrious dead and carry them to their eternal home. Our ship broke down and would not fly. So we are unable to return.
What are you doing aboard this fleet, a stowaway?
You are our only means of getting back.
For which we owe you much thanks.
Thanks, nothing. You could jeopardize the whole trip. I must report all this to control down on Earth.
Of course.
Meanwhile, we have made temporary quarters for you in number two hole. May not be very comfortable, but at least it's heated.
Thank you.
You'll receive a fair ration of food and the use of a space suit should that be required. We shall find some work for you to do throughout the voyage. Chipper. Show them the way to the hold.
Yes. This way. Into the airlock. In you go. While we're waiting for the air pressure to even up, Nofret, I'll be glad if you'll tell me something.
If I can.
What is a canopic jar?
When a body is mummified, the viscera must be removed. The organs, the liver, lungs, stomach, and intestines are placed in separate jars, each guarded by one of the four sons of Horus. The jars are canopic jars.
Yes, well, ask a silly question.
Further questioning of the stowaways failed to throw any more light on their claims. They soon settled into the ship's routine, and we began to accept them almost as bona fide members of the expedition. They proved very helpful and willing, and treated Saxon with an almost embarrassing deference. Their approach to him was as to a very superior being. They seemed in many ways to regard themselves equally superior to Chipper and Lodrick, though this cut no ice for them. At last, after a flight of almost a year, we reached our first destination, the planet Mars. Pictures of its grim orange surface had been filling our televiewer and navigation screens for some time. We were all looking forward to landing on its surface. We were to set down on the rocky plains in the vicinity of the Valles Marineris, where the first of our preliminary tasks was to be carried out. The two freighter spacecraft which accompanied us from Earth would continue their journey into the asteroid belt. At last, the day came when we were forced to part company and prepare for our Martian landing.
800. Pressure rockets fired. 700.
Release landing tripod.
500.
How does the surface look, Magnus?
A bit rocky, but we'll be okay, I think.
300. Landing support unfolding.
200.
Increased thrust. 100. 50. 25.
Hey, stand by. She's down. Cut gyros. Cut motors.
Gentlemen, we've made it. We're on the red planet, Mars.
Hello, flagship. Freighter number one calling.
Hello, freighter number one. Receiving you.
Are you down?
Yes, and in one piece.
Hello, freighter one. We've landed safely. You can leave your Martian orbit and proceed towards the asteroid belt as scheduled. Thank you for your company.
Thank you for yours. See you in 6 months. Hope to have asteroid ship ready for use by then.
Thank you, number one. Good luck on your trip.
And to you. Over and out.
They seem happy enough. I wonder how the stowaways fared down there in the hold.
Hello, number two hold. Can you hear me?
We hear you very well, my lord.
How was the landing? Not too rough?
No. It was an excellent landfall for such an improbable device.
And Nofret, she all right?
I thank my lord. Yes, you are very kind to inquire.
Good. Well, get yourselves up here as soon as you can. There's plenty to be done.
We are coming right away.
And that applies to the rest of us. We'll be working to a very tight schedule from now on. Well, that completes post-landing schedule. I suggest we have supper and then turn in.
We're keeping a watch.
Huh? What for? Nothing lives up here.
Mary Anke and no fret say they do.
How could they? No air, no water, nothing growing, nothing to eat. If they think they can live under these conditions, I'd like to see them do it. Where are they, by the way?
Down in number two hold, presumably.
Oh, Chipper, give them a call.
Hello? Hold number two, bridge calling. Hello? Hold number two, bridge calling.
They don't answer.
Well, they couldn't have left the ship.
Shall I go down and see if they're all right?
Yes, you
should. Hello, bridge. This is Mary Anke.
Oh, there you are.
I'm very sorry. I had gone to sleep.
And Nofret?
She is sleeping too.
Sorry to have disturbed you. Don't you want any supper?
No, thank you.
Oh, very well. We have an early start in the morning. You can help us prepare for our first expedition on the surface.
It will be an honor to be of any assistance.
That is all. Good night.
Good night, my lord.
I'm not going to miss his supper. All eats like a horse.
Yes.
Hey, Chipper.
Mm.
You awake?
Hmm? Oh, yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes, sure. I haven't slept a wink.
Then you won't mind getting up.
What time is it?
5 a.m., Martian.
5 a.m.? You want me to get up?
To see a wonderful sight.
What?
The sunrise.
I saw the sunrise years ago.
Not over Mars, you didn't. Come on. Magnus is already in the observation dome. You can't miss it.
Well, if you say so. I'll be there in just a minute. Well, that is something, I must say. What are all those coloured rings in the sky?
Caused by the ice crystals in the atmosphere.
Ice? I thought there wasn't any water on Mars.
Very little, if any.
Then how can you have ice?
There may be enough of some atmospheric crystals to form. But those are probably crystals of carbon dioxide, and there's plenty of that.
How red it all is. Just like early morning in the Egyptian desert. And the soil looks just like sand.
Yeah, it does.
Should make Mary Anke and Nofret quite homesick. Why aren't they here?
They must be still asleep. Go and get them, Lodrick. I'm sure they wouldn't want to miss a sight like this.
Right.
That canyon over there.
The Valles Marineris.
Valles Marineris? What does that mean?
Valley of the Sea.
I see no sea.
Not now, but there might have been one long ago. It was probably water that cut the canyon. That's where we'll begin the main survey.
Oh, down there?
Not in it. Along its rim.
How deep is it?
4 miles. 4 times the depth of the Grand Canyon in America.
Really?
And more than 30 times as wide. And it's 3,500 miles long.
That's pretty big for a small planet. And the mountains higher than those on Earth?
The volcanoes are.
Volcanoes?
Don't worry. They're all extinct now.
Yeah, well, let's hope so.
Hello, Magnus. Lodrick calling.
Hello, Lodrick. What is it?
Trouble.
What do you mean?
They're not here.
Hey, what?
This is the most incredible thing.
There's not a sign of them.
How could they get out?
They got in.
What?
Before we left Earth, they got into Freighter 1. They stowed away.
They could have slipped past the guards before takeoff when the doors were still open.
Most unlikely. And how about the museum?
Hmm?
Nobody's explained how they got in and out of there.
They were already spaceborne while the robbery was taking place.
They were. But their friends, those who formed the crowd for Chipper and Loderick's fake pyramid walk, they weren't spaceborne. They must have robbed the museum.
You think they can walk through closed doors?
No, but they obviously have some way of opening them. And ship airlocks, too.
It is incredible. An eccentric old man and an innocent girl.
I wonder what their next move will be.
Eh?
Well, they must be up to something. And I reckon we'll be the victims of it.
Blimey.
But if they did go out through an airlock, how do they manage to breathe? In an atmosphere of carbon dioxide. We searched the ship a second time, but there was no sign of Maryanka, nor Nofret, nor any clue as to how they could have left the ship. We gave up looking for them, reported the matter to Control, and Saxon and Loderick got ready to take their first trip on the Martian surface. They left the ship in the Land Explorer by way of the vehicle bay, each clad in spacesuits. The door opened to reveal the vivid orange-colored ground gleaming in the sunlight. Then the ramp from the bay to the Martian surface was lowered, and they moved out into the sunlight.
You're receiving us, Chipper.
Loud and clear. Can you see them, Magnus?
They're just coming into view.
What's it like out there, Saxon?
Very red. Very rocky.
They're kicking up a lot of dust.
Turning 45 degrees left, coming round the side of the ship.
Going out of view again.
Hey, wait!
What's up?
Then that's the way Maryanka and Nofret got out.
Looks like it. We'll continue our reconnaissance. You're receiving all this, Chipper.
Every word.
Surface, a mixture of rocks and red sand. Sand supports land vehicle well. Rocks, small enough to present only minor obstruction. Larger rocks visible on the horizon. Some very large.
We can see you.
You're very close to our horizon. You'll soon pass over it. Now you're on the horizon.
What a view! Such colours. Never saw such colours.
What, the sand?
No, the rocks. Absolutely brilliant. Astonishing. We'll take a closer look, collect a few samples. The valley's rather deep here. You'll lose sight of us for a while.
Right.
There's a large rock ahead. Must be a good 200 meters long. That's such an odd shape.
Oh?
Almost pyramidal, but very weathered. Well, you must be able to see the top of it.
We can see the tops of lots of things. Give me a bearing from the ship.
I'd say roughly 24 degrees left.
Yes.
24.
Yes, I can see a peak. Look, there, Magnus.
Oh, yes. Somewhat pointed.
That's it. Can you see its base?
No, horizon blocks a view.
Well, we're going down. Keep listening.
Hello? Hello? Chipper calling.
What's the problem?
No problem, really, Saxon, but it's more than 10 minutes since you called.
Oh, sorry. This is such an interesting spot. The mineral content of these rocks is extraordinary.
Where are you, precisely?
On the far side from you.
In the Land Explorer?
No, on foot. The transporter can't go everywhere.
Are you close together? What is spacesuits?
Oh, don't worry. The way this rock is formed, it's only like walking up a flight of shallow steps. We'll call you again in a minute or two.
Right.
Pyramid steps. Next thing they'll be telling us, I found a step pyramid.
Oh, good heavens! Look, Ben! Lightning like a gun feed!
Look at us!
Where did he come from? Quick, Chipper, answer!
Wait till I find the switch. I'm as blind as a bat.
They can't
hear
us.
Saxon, hearing you.
Oh, no.
Saxon, what is it?
In that episode of Space Force, Magnus was played by Nigel Stock, Saxon by Barry Foster, Chipper by Nicky Henson, and Loderick by Tony Osoba, with Wendy Murray, Willoughby Goddard, Mia Soteriu, and Bernard Brown. Space Force was written by Charles Chilton and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.